Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're me and Mercedes. Mercedes turns on it. Down the left field line. Did he? Yes, he did.
There it is. First major league home run.
Your mean Mercedes sent him to the All-Star game. Outrageous what he's done. This is absolutely Hollywood golden ridiculous.
Well, your mean continues to be one of the best two-strike hitters in the game. Really protects the plate like all good two-strike hitters. You know, he's like a Nelly Fox.
I want to play my first game with the fans in Chicago. I want to see the German fans, the German-native fans.
2-1 to Mercedes. And Yermin tattoos this ball. Oh, where is it going to land? Bring him home. Welcome to Chicago, 73.
Tanny,
yes,
bought the Yerminator burgers today.
The Yerminator burgers from Freddy's. I wasn't a big fan of the Yerminator burger, I gotta be honest.
Oh!
It didn't taste like your mean Mercedes at all.
I enjoyed it. Herb enjoyed it. I was happy to bring in food for the crew today.
Thank you.
And he has given up a home run to Yermin Mercedes on a 3-0 pitch. Does it matter? He swung away on 3-0?
I don't like it.
I mean, you guys are zooming, so you're not at the ballpark. If you had been at the ballpark, just by the time the guys told me to pitch, I took several steps from the dugout onto the field yelling, take, take, take. There's a sportsmanship, respect for the game, respect for your opponent that's real.
You think Henry Aaron, a man of tremendous class, in a 16-4 game in the ninth inning, is going to disobey a take sign in the top of the ninth on a 3-0 pitch against a mop-up shortstop to hit a home run?
The way I see it is for position players on the mound, there are no rules. Let's get the damn game over with. And if you have a problem with whatever happens, then put a pitcher out there.
Lance has a locker. I have an office. No negativity. You know, we all support your mean. We love home runs here.
Is there a big deal whether or not everybody agrees on all the rules or unwritten rules?
It's okay to not, you know, to disagree from each other. You know, Tony's like that dad. We like his kids. We're like the bad kids that don't listen.
A 1-0 to Mercedes. That is a game winner. He was 0 for his last 25.
Do we have time for White Sox news?
Optioned your mean Mercedes to Charlotte.
Goodness.
It happened.
Meanwhile, looks like your mean Mercedes baseball days are over. He was taken out of a game playing for the AAA Charlotte Knights tonight and then issued a post on Instagram which said at the end of a long statement, quote, it's over.
I'm on a mission for time, pieces, and sexy ladies. Allow me to introduce you to my...
Your mean Mercedes.
He's gone, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I am not a historian of the Goodfellas treatment. It is Chris Tannehill's intellectual property. Has there ever been a Goodfellas treatment that had to be undone, given that we just got the news that Yermin Mercedes' retirement did not even last 24 hours. I don't know how this works.
No, it never has happened before. It's unprecedented, Jay Billis, and this is why I hate a guest to start the show. Because we should have started the show at the Open, and now I look like a jerk because we played that after we know he's coming back now. But don't worry, I dumped the last 3 minutes and the last 10 years of me here.
Yeah, you've Men in Black mind erased everything that's ever
happened. Dump him.
But whatever, it's still funny, and good that Yermin Mercedes is in the lineup. Still, now we have that Goodfellas treatment for when he inevitably is not on the White Sox anymore.
There's so many Cubs I would have rather have done that for last night than do a Yermin thing. You know, just wasting my time here.
Your time will come. Your time will be very busy very soon. Yeah. Yes. Next week, while I'm on vacation, you are going to have a lot of production work on your hands, my friend. But we've got Dave Wannstedt, who's going to be in studio at some point this hour. We're very much looking forward to that.
Wait, who?
Coach.
Thank you.
Coach. Sorry. Yeah.
You call me coach.
We call him coach around here.
Would you call Nick Saban Dave?
I wouldn't. That would be a weird thing to do. So I will be calling Dave Wannstedt Nick when he comes in today. Nick Wright will be on the show today at 5 o'clock. Just got word. And Bart Winkler will join us from Milwaukee in about an hour and a half or so to recap the parade and the Deer District. But Shane Reardon, Scoops Reardon, to you and yours, he broke the Eloy news before anybody else. He did not get the Luis Robert news, but he says he has some sourced information at what led to Yermin Mercedes being so upset yesterday. So what do we know, Shane?
Yeah, so I was able to confirm a lot of stuff that we kind of could have assumed, but gotten it legitimized from somebody. What we know of Yermin Mercedes is he's a 28-year-old with some immaturity issues. He's a guy who really, really enjoyed having the light shined on him for the entire month of April. A guy who really likes the attention and grew accustomed to a major league lifestyle. When you send a guy like that, and let's backtrack 1 second. I want to put to bed any assumption that the Tony La Russa public shaming after the home run, the 3-0 homer against Williams Astudillos, that didn't do anything to Yermin. They have a great relationship. Tony, I've been told, has already reached out to Yermin. That happened last night. Yermin felt slighted that the White Sox went with somebody like Sebi Zavala, who he thinks can't hold a candle to his catching ability. Yermin thinks that you spent all this time and money on me with Jerry Nairn, teaching me how to catch before every single game. I never saw any time behind the plate. I saw like one inning, and then you went with a guy like Sebi Zavala after I basically carried you through the month of April. Major League pitching had already caught on to Yermin Mercedes. He couldn't adjust. We thought that, you know, he had this great two-strike approach, and there's going to be no problem with Yermin Mercedes adjusting to Major League pitching. He couldn't do it. His number slid. He was demoted. Now comes the monetary aspect. When he was at the Major League level, he's making somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 a day. When he's pushed down to Charlotte, he took an 80% pay cut, making about $600 a day. He's got mouths to feed. He's got a lifestyle to uphold. He's got payments on things to make like anybody else does. Took a huge pay cut. And what he sees is, come September, when the rosters expand, they're not going to carry three catchers. I'm not going to be on there. Nobody's paying attention to me down here in Charlotte, even though I'm mashing. I'm not getting that major league attention anymore. He sees about seven or eight other teams that he could potentially start at DH right now or use the catching that was taught to him by Jerry Nairn and start or be a backup catcher rotating in and out in a platoon on seven to eight other major league teams. So if he threatens with retirement, the White Sox might just think, hey, we don't want to deal with this drama. Let's cut ties with Yermin Mercedes. Let him go about his way. Obviously, something changed between then and 5 minutes ago. I don't have that info as of yet. I'm trying to get that info. I don't know what changed, but
tough timing with Bill Fickner.
Really tough timing. I'm kind of surprised Bill didn't have the info for us.
Yeah, we could have had this out before the post and then just been like, I guess they fixed it.
This is an ego thing. It's a financial thing. That's a hell of a pay cut. He took about an 80% pay cut.
Should not have. I mean, can I interject here for a few things here?
Please, yeah, please.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know how much more information there actually was. Like, one of the things in the scouting report on Yermin Mercedes was that he's immature, right? That he's a 28-year-old kid in many ways. And if he started carrying on a major league lifestyle off of a month of major league production,
it's irresponsible.
Very. like thinking that he could never be demoted, when the reason that he was promoted in the first place was because of injury. There was no guarantee that Yermín Mercedes was going to be solidified as a major leaguer from April on, and then we clearly saw what happened. There obviously have been issues of immaturity. Even though I disagreed 100% with how Tony La Russa handled it, you could go back and look at the numbers. Yermín Mercedes was slumping before he hit the 3-0 home run off of the position player. He slumped after, and he was hitting over 300 for AAA. So the idea that Tony La Russa caused what happened with Yermín Mercedes last night is ridiculous. What you're saying makes a whole heck of a lot more sense, that immaturity and a bruised ego led to him being frustrated and trying to make some sort of power play to get out of the White Sox organization, to hopefully, in his mind, be picked up by someone who would be able to use his talents at the major league level.
So here's a direct quote from somebody I talked to. Yermín feels trapped. He lacks a little bit of emotional intelligence in situations like this. He doesn't understand the concept of being professional in Major League Baseball culture. You don't show up your boss or your company because you're unhappy, but he feels like what he's doing, there's nothing wrong with it, while we look at it like this guy's a quitter and he's a cancer to the team. So he says that as a player, you know the rules of engagement, that it's a cruel business, but this is kind of what it is. And what other guys in the organization are saying to him is, if you don't like it, play better. And it kind of just boils down to that, and Yermín can't handle that.
Well, that, man, that level of entitlement is not uncommon among professional sports players in any sport, because I know this isn't the case for Yermín Mercedes, but you'll understand the point. You're the best player on your grade school team. You're the best player on your high school team. You're the best player on your college team. And then you reach a level where all of a sudden you're no longer the best player. It takes adjustment. It takes time to figure that out. And it takes a degree of professionalism that it doesn't seem like Yermín Mercedes fully has. But think about it, man. Like, he a really likable story and engaging personality who this town and that fan base fell in love with. Guy had a burger named after him. The guy had a nickname. The guy was having press conferences on the regular. He was being celebrated. He was winning player of the week. He was hearing his name said on MLB Network and ESPN. That does a lot to someone's ego who is grounded, much less someone who is immature. And that's not the fault of the fan base or the restaurant for giving him the burger or anything like that. But it's just, imagine being a career minor leaguer in your field. Whatever your field. Radio, sales, the law firm, whatever. Like, if you're a clerk in the mailroom at a law office, and then in a month, they're like, you're on the track to being a partner. You might go out and max out some credit cards on some nice suits and start walking the walk. If you're doing, you know, college radio, then all of a sudden you're hosting on WFAN in New York City, you might think that you're the next Dan Patrick. Like, he had this unbelievable success, and with it, the trappings of it, and he was too immature, and he fell into it. Now, what I said to you guys last night in the text, my initial read on the whole thing was, when the White Sox put out a statement that they were learning on it from, like, they learned about that from your means Instagram post, I was like, that's just a sign of immaturity. Plain and simple. We've seen it. Like, we've seen this with, and I'm using millennial incorrectly a little bit for his age, but I use millennial as a catch-all for my age and younger, basically. People who grew up with the internet, right? I had Facebook when I went to college. You grow up with living your life digitally and on the internet. If you break up with a girl, you delete all your pictures, right? You scrub her from your Instagram. We saw it with Jordan Howard and the Bears. We've seen it with many, many, many athletes who take their displeasure publicly. And in order to cover and fully follow these things, you got to be like a little bit of an Instagram and Twitter detective and translator. Now, he made it fairly obvious when he tweeted out, it's over. But the first thing he did was he took down all of his baseball pictures and anything associated with the White Sox. That is just how the younger, newer athlete communicates their displeasure, especially the immature ones.
This is a man, I'll say child. This is a kid who thrives and survives on attention, and it was pulled from him, and now he's starving.
Lashing
and
out.
He needed to replenish that fuel, that tank of attention that he had built up with a great April and a decent start to May. It was taken away, so he needed to refuel.
Right,
and that's how he did it.
And then there's also the cold, harsh reality of, like, the world moving on without you. Like, you go down to Charlotte, you start hitting and producing, but no one cares.
Because the White Sox are 9 games up.
Right.
They don't need you.
And because the guys who have replaced you are also performing. Gavin Sheets is getting the love. Billy Hamilton's getting his name chanted. So when Yermín Mercedes hits a home run for Charlotte, no one hits him up in his Instagram DMs anymore. No one's recognizing him about town. No one's putting him out there on blog posts or on players to watch or on breakout star candidates or whatever was happening to him in April. But what happened last night, like, I heard Dan and Layla, and I respect and appreciate what they were saying, and it's certainly easier for me to say this now given that he's back in the lineup. But, you know, they were talking about, like, got to get eyes on him. We got to check on him. Like, I understand that, and I take mental health very seriously. We all talk about therapy. We've all talked about our struggles with it. When he said El Retiro and said it's over and said I'm walking away from baseball, that did not hit me like some cry for help mental health crisis. Reasonable minds can disagree on that, but that, to me, read immaturity. Immaturity. Whether he followed through with it or not, that's just not how you quit a team or quit a sport. No one in their right mind would recommend you going about, like, if he wanted the White Sox to DFA him, his agent should go to Rick Hahn and say, hey, is Yermín Mercedes in your plans for this year or next year? If not, can you grant him his release? Rick Hahn could say no, and maybe that conversation happened. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. We don't know. But that struck me immediately as an immature way to communicate frustration. And we've seen it with athletes, and we've seen it in relationships, and you just see it in young people who live their life on the internet, at least partially, who crave social media validation. Likes, retweets, followers, friends, interactions, impressions, views. Those are words and metrics that, unfortunately and fortunately, there are good that comes of it, by the way, that many people, mid-30s and younger, judge their personal and professional worth through. And when he wasn't hitting home runs at the major league level and that other stuff went away, he lashed out. So we'll see what happens with this. And Shane, good job, man. That's a lot of valuable information. But the other thing, too, is, like, if he has specific beefs about you trained me how to be a catcher and now Saval is up there and he's catching, this is professional sports. There is no birthright here. It is a meritocracy. If you think you're a better catcher than all non-Yasmani Grandal catchers in the White Sox organization, you know who disagrees with you? The White Sox. Because if you were the preferred catching target of Giolito, Lance Lynn, Carlos Rodon, Liam Hendricks, right? Like, Yermín Mercedes would be the catcher. But he's not. So maybe they're wrong in their evaluation on him. That's certainly possible. But the only evaluation there who matters is the people who fill out the roster and the lineup card. And I'll say this too, Shane. He's right, isn't he? Like, rosters expanded September. If he's not going to get an Eloy's coming back, who's going to get a ton of your games at DH, and Grandal should be back, there's no room
for Yermín Mercedes.
And you wouldn't carry him on a roster spot either if you have questions about his maturity. Like, you wouldn't want that to be around your big league clubhouse.
Now, I know a lot of guys like him on the team. I'm not saying he was unpopular with the big league club, but you said, you quoted someone who said, did you say cancer or just quit on the team, or did you say both?
Both.
You said both.
Yeah. They say that he lacks emotional intelligence.
Okay.
What he's doing, he doesn't think there's anything wrong with it.
Okay, well, so then that's just not the personality trait that they will reward with, hey, spend time about our World Series contender if you're worried about stuff that isn't important to winning in the bottom line. Why would you bring him up? Now, if they think that they're going to be resting a bunch of guys and playing in totally meaningless games for a while, then I guess maybe. But he's not going to be on the expanded roster, like, heading into the playoffs.
But then I guess, like, go back to the analogy you use in millennials removing pictures of their girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever. You do that, isn't it kind of leading them on? You're leading your mean Mercedes on, which also isn't very nice.
Who's leading him on?
The White Sox.
Well, dude, what if Eloy has a setback and Jose Abreu gets hurt? Then all of a sudden you need your mean Mercedes as a bat-only guy. That's how it works.
If you're dealing with such delicate personalities like him, what I'm saying is just cut ties.
What's his contract situation? I apologize for not knowing this. I should.
Nobody knows what your mean Mercedes contract is.
Well, but okay. But I mean, we knew we were going to be talking about him today. So he's pre-arbitration now. So they have his rights through 2027. Well, then that's why. Because who the hell knows? He's hitting over 300 at AAA. He won player of the week in April. It's not like Yermín Mercedes could never be an asset.
Right, but is he going to be a playable asset for you? Because right now, with all we know about him, he's not a tradable asset.
Well,
yeah, you'd be selling low for sure, but I don't think there's an organization out there that would look at him and be like, oh, no way, done. I mean, you've seen the good and you've seen the really bad, and I think there's always going to be a team out there, but you know what? I could see what's wrong here. I could fix that, or I'll try to make it work because we're a losing team and we have the room on our roster to give it a shot. You could package that with someone else in a trade package.
Okay.
You know, but I think every player, like, you could still see the potential there. I think we know what he is at this point, but there's always a team that's going to give a guy like that a shot, I think.
Well, yeah, but the answer to the question of why not just cut ties with him is because you have contractual control of him for 6 years. So who the hell knows what's going to happen in that period of time? Whether he improves and increases his value, or you have a need on the big league club, or whatever the case may be. Like, that's just a long time. You don't just give up on assets that you got 6 years of control for who are in AAA that are 28 years old. It's just not necessary. It's not how teams will do it. Now, we'll see what happens here. But my guess is you're saying that Tony La Russa did call him last night.
Yes.
Okay, my guess is he's not the only one. We don't know that, but he's in the lineup today. He's back in uniform. My guess is they convinced Yermín Mercedes that he has a future as a big league player, either with the White Sox or elsewhere, but this isn't the way to go about it. Hey, man, if you retire, you get nothing.
Right. At the bare minimum, stick around. You're making $570,000 this year. You're going to make that at least for the next 6 years. Go ahead and pocket $3 million and then walk it away.
Well, and we might trade you. Like, we're not saying that we're going to keep you buried in the minor leagues forever, but you have a future in baseball making money. I'm sorry you don't like this situation right now, but be mature about it. Be a professional. You are a professional baseball player. Even if you're not a major league baseball player, you are still a professional baseball player. So be a pro. Because that move last night, that was the first thing. That's not a pro move. It's just an immature thing to do. So that's very good detail from Shane. We will follow the story, obviously, as we continue to do some reporting on it and as more updates happen. But Yermín Mercedes, shortest live retirement in the history of sports. He is in the lineup at AAA tonight. But the background there is, didn't like the demotion, thought he should be catching at the big league level, couldn't handle the finances and the lack of attention, lashed out to try to get out and go to a big league team that could use him, and the White Sox smoothed that over in an instant. There's also a huge piece of drama developing in the NFL right now on social media that could have massive ramifications. It's next on The Score.
We all have our own opinions on what we want to do and not do. But if you understand the education of it, if we encourage it, which is what we're doing, then we can all make our own decisions and decide to get it. And that's where I think your question with the competitive advantage, for all of us, you know, for me, I'm able to now with the rules that we all have, I'm able to go around and I don't have to wear that mask anymore.
So this story is fascinating to me on a number of levels. That was, of course, Matt Nagy. Dave Wannstedt will be here at some point. We've poured two glasses of bourbon. We're going to just hang out and talk with Dave in a little bit. Tom Pelissero reported that the NFL is going to not mandate that you get a vaccine, but what they will be doing is they're not going to add a 19th week to the season. They are not going to reschedule games. And so if your game ends up getting canceled due to an outbreak of COVID among unvaccinated players, you will forfeit that game, have a loss in the loss column. So it won't be that the Bears play 17 games and the Vikings play 16. The Vikings would get a loss for their game with the COVID outbreak. And in the event of a forfeit, players from both teams will lose their game checks. So there's going to be a massive amount of pressure on all of these guys to get vaccinated, both for the competitive situation on the team and the bottom line. I personally love it because I want to watch football this year. I don't want to watch a 6-foot-nothing, 170-pound kid from Vanderbilt who was a practice squad wide receiver play quarterback like what happened to the Broncos last year. I don't want games on Tuesdays. I believe in science, and I believe that the only reason we got a shot at getting out of the hell of the last 15, 16 months has been a result of the vaccine. That's my personal feelings on the matter, and I believe it's backed up by what are those things called? Oh, yeah, facts. But some people are still not getting the vaccine. And DeAndre Hopkins came out and said, I'm considering my future because I don't like having the vaccine held over my head, and if I don't get it, I'm a detriment to a team. So DeAndre Hopkins intimated that he was maybe reconsidering his future in football, and it's sparking this huge conversation among NFL players. Quincy Avery, who's a quarterback coach, said, quarterback coach, by the way, to Jordan Love, Deshaun Watson, Justin Fields, he said, you're definitely a bad teammate now if you don't get the vaccine. Jalen Ramsey responded to Quinson Avery and said, I know two people right now who got the vaccine but are COVID positive. I'm just saying, I wouldn't look at a teammate as bad if he don't get the vax. No pressure from number five. DeAndre Hopkins responded to that and said, my girlfriend's brother in the military got the vaccine and had heart problems right after. When you stand for something, they hate you. Here's the problem with Jalen Ramsey and DeAndre Hopkins' arguments. I'll go one at a time. Jalen Ramsey saying, I know two people who got the vaccine but are COVID positive. Are those people symptomatic or hospitalized or dying? The answer, overwhelmingly likely, is no. The vaccine, we've seen this. It doesn't prevent you necessarily from testing positive for COVID. What it prevents you from is getting sick and dying from COVID, which I don't know about you guys. You guys cool with getting COVID if you don't get sick?
Yeah, man, that's fine.
Right?
Bring it on. I'd love COVID if I'm not getting sick.
I'm still doing my research.
Okay, yeah, you're still doing your research. Right, great. Thank you.
Just to be clear, though, Tanny and I went to the same place on the same day to get the same vaccine.
Yeah, we're a vaccinated show. That's the only reason we're in studio here is because all four of us got vaccinated.
You guys
would have been here before.
Shane had his back to me, so you don't know for sure that I got it.
Okay, right. Yeah.
That's true. I'm still doing my research.
That nurse looked upset when I turned around.
I always monitor Shane how he's doing because we got our shots on the same day, same location, and it's a funny thing. Like, literally at the same time.
Right.
Because that's what we do. We're Vax Bros for life.
Yeah, Vax Bros for life. You're going to get the matching tattoos. It's going to be adorable.
No, it's too far.
More of them?
What was that?
More matching tattoos?
More matching tattoos. Yeah, you already copied Shane's, his owl, I believe, and the quotes from The Office.
Yep. Speaking of that, we got to talk about tattoos later. Pencil that in for the five.
Okay, excellent.
I have a dilemma.
Let's move your guest at five.
Okay.
All right, pencil it in for 4:30.
We'll get it in.
All right.
We got lots to do today. And then DeAndre Hopkins saying my girlfriend's brother in the military got the vaccine, had heart problems right after. That's terrible. And I hope your girlfriend's brother ends up being fine. But again, the vast majority of the people who have the vaccine have no side effects. Oh, it's a sore arm, a little bit of fatigue, day or two, goes away. And so
I came and worked.
You came and worked that day. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so did I. And I went to Bavette's that night.
Yeah.
I was fine.
So
you called off the next day, though.
I did.
The next day was Saturday.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But Danny called off. That's right.
I did.
Danny, not as tough as us.
Not as tough. I was a little lethargic. And, you know, I'll take any excuse. But again, using individual anecdotes to justify your position. He's like, my girlfriend's brother in the military, or I know two people that. We don't need to be doing that anymore. Like, it doesn't need to be, I know a guy who had something happen to his neighbor's brother's cousin's friend. We've got millions and millions of data points on this at this point. It's all out there for people to see. And so I hope DeAndre Hopkins doesn't retire. I'd be surprised if he gave back his like $24 million salary because he didn't want to get the vaccine. That would surprise me. But I support the NFL and any other private business, by the way, that wants to require vaccination in order for you to work. Now, if you've got a medical excuse and you've got a doctor who says this person can't get it for A, B, or C pre-existing condition, then obviously that's an extenuating circumstance. But I'm one of these funny people that I don't make rules based on the exception. I figure out the exceptions to the rule and I work around it. Like, if you've got someone in your workforce that can't get a vaccine for whatever reason that's medically cleared by a doctor, obviously you should not persecute or discriminate against them for their inability to get a vaccine. But if someone's like, I'm just waiting for herd immunity, or I just think they rushed it, or I think there's going to be a microchip, I have absolutely no problem if the employer says, well, then I don't want you to work here or come into work. I know that's somewhat of a controversial stance, but I don't know if you've realized the last year and a half has kind of sucked. Kind of sucked. So the NFL saying, we ain't moving these games. Sorry. If you don't get vaccinated, like, because they're not saying you have to do it. What they're saying is, if you don't do it and we can't play the game because of multiple positives among unvaccinated players, your ass is taking a loss and you're losing the game check. That is totally within their right as a private company, and I support it. The reason why there will be able to be 65,000 people at Soldier Field this fall is because of the vaccine. The reason why we are able to have full capacity baseball stadiums locally is because of the vaccine. Period. It just is. That is the reason. So I hate this misinformation. It's dangerous. It sucks. I don't want football games to be delayed, but I really just don't want the. Did you guys see that story that was going around the internet on CBS News of the person who is
just like had been in the hospital, long stay, terrible battle with COVID, small business owner, Louisiana, coming out of it.
You said CBS News?
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to the fake news media.
Right, my bad. It was CBS this morning. They're profiling the guy. He's in the hospital. He's finally coming out after a long stay. COVID, terrible battle, respiratory problems, the whole thing, all the stories that you read, but thankfully he's going to survive. Reporter asks the individual in the hospital bed, if you could do this over again, would you have gotten the vaccine? Says no.
Put a bullet in his head now.
I don't even know what you do with that.
Let him die.
You got these people in this hospital that are using these resources and time. It's just, it's so sad. Like, the disinformation that's out there is so sad. He still, and okay, fine, personal choice, freedom, whatever. But God, is that a stupid use of your freedom? And we'll see. We'll see what these NFL players do. But that is a strong, no other league has come close to that, by the way. We will not reschedule. We will forfeit the game. You will forfeit your paycheck. Get a vaccine. Because they're not saying that if you test positive for COVID and you've taken the vaccine, which is still possible, they're not saying that. They're saying if there is an outbreak on your team among unvaccinated players, we are canceling the game and you are forfeiting. I respect the hell out of the NFL for doing that, frankly. I know many of you will disagree. Frankly, I can live with it. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
You sometimes like to come on here and just kind of make waves, whatever. I get what you're doing.
Les Grobstein is on to Mark Grody's shtick. We don't know what's happening with Dave Wannstedt. We assume he will be here. This bourbon that we poured with him on ice is going to be a little watered down.
That's fine. That weirdo drinks his beer with ice. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, that's true.
A little watered down.
Yeah, that is 100% true. Bart Winkler is scheduled to join us at 4:40. Nick Wright at 5 o'clock. Spiegs is out sick today. Some people loved what I just said. Some people hated it. That's totally fine. Please get vaccinated. It's in your best interest and society's at large. But what is also in your best interest is to laugh at Master Troll Mark Grody and Les Grobstein argue passionately about the designated hitter.
Les,
bottom line is the shootout and 3-on-3 in hockey in regular season sucks. In baseball, putting a runner on second base for extra innings. The pitcher that took over, in this case it was Kimbrel, he didn't put that runner on second base. He inherits the runner on second. He was the losing pitcher because of that.
But it's like immediate tension and excitement.
It counts as regular season games. If you pitch a seven-inning no-hitter, they don't recognize it as a no-hitter.
All right, you're wrong about that. Listen.
No, I'm not wrong. They don't recognize it as a no-hitter.
No, that you're right about. I'm saying you're wrong in general about the
seven-inning
rule.
That's your opinion, and your opinion stinks.
Well, no. My opinion is actually the correct one. So
no, it's not.
I assume that you have come around on the designated hitter because that's probably going to come back next
no,
year.
No, I haven't. I don't like the DH either. And
why?
They're going to shove it down the National
why?
League's throats.
You want to see more Alec Mills at bats?
I want to see some pitchers who can hit the ball. The guy who pitched yesterday, Wainwright, for the Cardinals, he can swing the bat. When Carlos Zambrano was pitching for the Cubs, he had a whole batch of home runs. He had the second most home runs in Cub history.
But you know, Les, the collective batting average of pitchers
coming
in. I don't
care about that. I don't give a damn.
110.
You want to not like it? That's your problem. I think it sucks.
I don't think it's a problem. I think I just want to see more action on the baseball field, and I want to see less action
into
the 6 hour.
It's a 9-player game, not a 10-player game. Putting a DH in there with 10 players in the lineup, that makes it like softball.
Well, get ready. It's coming back next year.
Hopefully
not.
It was supposed to be coming back this year, and it didn't.
Well, it didn't, but some things did not get taken care of. I promise you,
there will be enough owners from the National League that are going to fight it.
I think the owners from the National League are okay with it.
No, they're not.
Why not? Do you think these
Why do you think so? You're only being biased. You want to see the DH put in there.
Well, so do they. Do you think
I hated the DH. I was 21 years old.
They don't want to see Mike Kruko hit.
Mark, yeah. In 1973 when they put the DH in, I was 21 years old.
I was there.
I already was an adult. I hated that rule then, and nothing that's happened since then has
You think they want to see Rick Rushdall at the plate in the sixth
Rick
inning?
Rick Rushdall was a pretty good hitter for a pitcher.
Crap. Actually, Rick Sutcliffe was a pretty good hitter as well. Remember Rick Sutcliffe? I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah, he and Terry Wood both hit homers in the postseason.
That's incredible. That passion, that fire and passion, is happening at 4:40 in the morning.
That's your opinion, and your opinion stinks.
Well, no.
Here's the thing about Les. Guy's still got his fastball, man. He still can bring it on the insults. You should have written for Veep. I like that guy. That's good stuff.
I love Les Grobstein.
And I love
Mark. As a guy, he's like, we give him a lot of crap here, and like we make fun of Les Audio a lot, but he is just the nicest, sweetest man.
Yeah. Who also has like some old school radio anger in him.
Yeah.
About
do you plan to follow the Kraken and be a fan, like the
when
first fan?
When they play
fan,
the Blackhawks,
so
I will.
But I mean, like in general, will you be, so to speak, the first fan of the Seattle Kraken?
No, but I got a friend that when the Vegas Golden Knights were performed, bought season tickets their first year. And that same person now has bought Kraken season tickets.
He bought what? Crack?
Kraken.
Oh, Kraken. Okay.
That's the nickname.
Les.
And you know doggone well it's the nickname, and you're trying to be a wise guy here. I know what you're doing.
No,
yeah, you are. No, that's why you use that one syllable.
You said he
I
went
said
there to
crackin'.
Buy it. Okay. It sounded to me like you said crack, but whatever.
We take the wax out of your ear.
Okay.
It's so good. Someone said to me today, Shane, that Grody is to Les Grobstein as you are to me.
I get it.
Yeah?
I get it.
I guess.
I feel bad for the people who listen enough to know we actually like each other. I envy the people who just tune in like, oh, man, those guys hate each other. That must suck.
Yeah. I think we like each other. I know we like each other. Yeah. But, and by the way, Grody loves Les, and Les loves Grody.
Yes.
So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that comparison when it was made to me earlier today.
That's your opinion, and your opinion stinks.
Well, no.
Parkins, how are you okay injecting something in your body that nobody else, no one knows what it is? Do you know what these NFL players put in their body? Do you know what they put in their body in order to be successful? Oh, yeah, give me some Toradol. Give me some Vicodin. Give me every type of painkiller in the world, and I'm going to wash it down with a fifth of vodka. It's great for my liver and my kidneys and my brain. But you know where I go too far? A vaccine that millions and millions and millions of people from around the world have taken. And 99% of them, if not more, are totally fine. And you're like, well, 99% of people survive COVID. Yeah, but they have side effects. They have issues. Have you talked to someone who's had it? It sounds horrible. Idiots. Every last one of you.
Wani at about 4'10". He's walking over right now.
Wani at about 4'10". Okay.
He's going to need a cold one.
We're going to get Wani drunk. We got some bourbon. Taney's got some Pittsburgh beer.
It's a Pittsburgh case of Iron City Light, by the way, not a 12-pack. 15.
Oh, full 15. Yeah. Hey, what am I contributing to this? Just my...
your normal thing that you always contribute.
Yeah, pithy comments and observations. Yeah, just like my transactions with my neighbors. That's great. Should I get my goodbye to KB in before Wani comes?
Yeah, let's do that right at the 4.
Okay. I've got... I'm not going to be here next week when Chris Bryant gets traded, so I have penned a goodbye to Chris Bryant next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.